Normally, I'm quite sure what to share and what to do, but not now, and I don't know why. I've got one scripture, and we will come to that, but I was thinking for the people that are married or people that have seen a marriage. I'm married for 32 years, and that's a long time ago. So do you still remember the day that you were married? And the vows that you made to your wife or to your husband, are you still remembering them? I don't. Yeah. But one thing, I'm still carrying a ring. So I know I'm married. But I think for a lot of stuff in our life, we forget what happened in our lives. We forget the beauty of stuff in our life. And I think the divorce rates among Christians is one of the reasons is that people forget the beauty of falling in love between man and woman. And they forget because life hits you, life happens to you, and you forget, and you get irritated with each other. Because you don't look back to the beginning. You're forgetting the beginning. And you don't look at the end because you're forgetting where you're actually going to. And it's a sad thing. If you notice people walking a race and they're forgetting where they started and where they're going to. And you can imagine where I'm going now. But first I want to ask you, do you know who you are? Can you explain to somebody else sitting next to you, this is who I am. This is what I am. And this is what I'm doing because I know who I am. We all know in Scripture that God is saying to Moses, when he sent Moses out, tell the people I am who I am. But are you able to say who you are? And I was listening yesterday to the songs and I was just writing down on my paper. I don't know what it is in me. And it's not that I'm negative. I'm always looking at church and listening to stuff, and then I'm reading the Bible and I'm missing stuff, and then I'm concerned. So I can't help it. Besides all the beautiful things that are happening, I'm always carrying a kind of concern in my heart about stuff that's not going well or not in line with God's word in my own life, but also in the church and churches. Because, you know, there's one deep desire in me, and I didn't search for it. He dropped it in my heart. To see the bride without wrinkle or without any... What is it? See, you know. Blemish. Pure. Ready for the king. And we have to focus again on the return of the king. Because we can be so busy with our daily life and even with church life. You know, I've seen, that's why I'm asking, do you know who you are? Because I see too many Christians and they don't know who they are. They're pretending to be good Christians. They're pretending to be effective Christians. They're pretending because they behave in a way to be part of a group. But are they real? Are they authentic? That's my question. Because I know there are enough Christians, they are authentic. But there are too many that are not. They want to be part of a church. They want to be part of the leadership. They want to be part because they've got a hole in their heart and they want to be part of something. And it concerns me. And so I was thinking, do you know who you are? Are you able? So I see some leaders, they go around the world and even in apostolic teams, they travel around and let the world know where they're going. And when you meet them, they tell you where they traveled, where they go, how many churches they visit. They just keep a CV. And actually, I don't care. And I'm wondering if God cares. And sometimes I feel, because if those leaders are our examples, they're setting a model. And I'm concerned about some models that we see around the world. And sometimes you wish, like in a meeting like this, and like they say, it's not the most wonderful sermon to do after a break, etc., after lunchtime, but I'm just desperately hoping that the Holy Spirit is intervening this meeting to reveal Jesus Christ again to all of us. There are too many man-made Christians. And man-made Christians are living by rules. They're living by to be accepted by others. And they're living by showing certain behaviors. And the world is not stupid at all. They see it, they taste it, and they are hating it. Christians that talk a language, but they don't walk the language. Christians that even sometimes behave in a way, but you know it's not real, even when they behave in a certain way. And I think, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, please come and set us free. Make us real free. Because you said to us in Galatians that you set us free to be free, but too many Christians are not really free. And if you as a church for the next 23 years want to be and having an impact, you have to walk in freedom in the way Jesus sets you free. Don't be concerned what other people think of you or how effective you are. Just obey God and He's going to be happy with you. That's the main thing. Walk on His path that He set out for you. Don't compare yourself with other people. That's one of the biggest threats of newborn again Christians, comparing yourself to other people. But even for leaders, compare yourself. And I believe the body of Christ should be healthy. My question is, what do you think? Is she healthy? Is she strong? Is she working together? Like Mike was sharing this morning, there's competition, jealousy, etc. If you're led by the Spirit, those things are not part of your thinking and in your. But I'm sure in this church and in our church, people are jealous, comparing, gossiping. It tells me something about your heart. Are you sure in who you are in Christ? Are you sure of your salvation? Are you sure of the ending of your journey? So let's go to one scripture. So this, my point is to anchor this in this session. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And I didn't figure it out. I'm still in my mind and in my spirit busy with this verse because it's too big. I'm not able in the last few weeks to get around it. And quite often it makes me cry because it hits me. And Paul is saying, Paul knows who he is, how he was. He was a bad person sinning. Chasing the church, put them in prison, killing people, etc., etc. So I know who I was. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. So the second part I want to skip, only the first part. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's, for me, those few words in the last few weeks, they are tearing me apart. Looking to all the things that I was, do you know who you are? Looking how leaders are behaving themselves, some good, some in another way. Or wannabes, I call them wannabes. You know, it breaks my heart, and there's still a lot that we can do better, okay? But I know some church leaders in Europe, they are lonely. Because they don't know, or they forgot, or whatever, they don't build relations. friendships. They're talking the same language, but they don't walk in the language. Maybe they forgot it. Maybe never anybody taught them. But they are lonely. Leading a church in places where maybe you don't want to go for 10 years. But now what's happening, first I'm feeling very sad for the guys that are lonely and feeling lonely. Even when they've got an eldership team, that's something I don't understand at all. If you've got an eldership team, you shouldn't be lonely at all because they are your biggest friends on your journey. And they understand you. And if you're not open to them, then again, something I don't understand. But I listen to the stories and they make themselves known around the world that they are lonely. And then some guys, some leaders around the world, they need some more names and churches on their list, on their CV, with a good intention, but they travel to those churches. I'm available. I spoke 2 weeks ago to a guy, and he says, I'm leading a church now for 15 years. I tried for the last 10 years to find Ephesians 4 gifts to invite them. I found them, I invited them, and they said, it's not fitting my agenda and whatever. So he's lonely. And he doesn't have an eldership team. So he starts phoning now to some guys that he heard about. And he's inviting them. And I spoke with him last week and I said, you know what happened? Somebody that I don't know is phoning me and telling him I'm available to help you. But there's no relation. So I'm not judging it in a sense that's a good thing because maybe they can get a relation. But I'm a little bit concerned about the way it goes. Because it's not a program. If we believe we are organic, the body of Christ, we should already knitting together and working together. And I think if I look to a lot of churches, I think most churches are already struggling to be one body in unity in the local church. Can you imagine how it will be outside with churches to become in unity to represent the King? So how are you doing in the body of New Day? Are you jealous? Are you gossiping? Are you comparing yourself? Or do you know who you are? And preparing with this message, God is dealing with myself. That's a good thing always to start there. I just felt that the Holy Spirit was dropping in my heart that I forgot the wonder and the beauty of the fact that He made it happen that I was born again. It was a miracle. It was grace. It was the grace of Jesus Christ that I was born again because I wasn't searching for Him at all. But the moment we are on our journey as Christians for 10, 15, 20 years, the moment we're not focusing on the two points, the start of your journey and the end of your journey, if you forget those two points in your thinking and focusing, on the way you will get lost and distracted. And I felt that God was pushing me back to the place, discover again my love for you and my grace that I saved you. What it means to be saved, what it means to be born out of God by the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 until 21. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The fact that you already understand and get to know Jesus Christ is grace, because you were blind, deaf, and dead. So the fact that you're coming to a point that you can make a decision was already the grace of God by the Holy Spirit. You didn't deserve it at all. You were dead. And not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I'm a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died. For through the law, I died. I died to the law so that I may live to God, for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I'm no longer alive, but Christ lives in me and through me. The life I live in the body is not only your body, but also the local body and the universal body. I will live by faith in the Son of God, whom loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. The law is not only the Ten Commandments. The law are the 2,000 lifestyle commandments of the kingdom of God. They don't justify you to become a child of God. So we can behave in a way that you want. It doesn't add to the way God looks at you today, if you are born again. And I had to go back in my own life to look at the fact how I lived before, and that God came into my life and rescued me. And that's why I start praying for the Holy Spirit. Please, Holy Spirit, again this morning, this afternoon, after lunch, let us be filled with the wonder of the fact that we are born again by the grace of God. Because Greg is saved by Jesus. Mike is graved by the grace of God, saved. I'm saved. And our history and our background is totally different. We all didn't deserve it. So I'm not more important to Christ than Jonathan. But I see in the church that leaders behave differently. They make themselves more important than the other Christians. And I don't understand. Maybe you've got a different role in the body and function in the body, but we are all one body. So how can you say to one part of your body you're more important than the other one? Don't behave and think, don't carry that attitude in you that you're more important than somebody else. Don't look down, because if you have that attitude already because you're 20 or 10 years in this local church and you're making progress and promotion, with that attitude, you will not find the lost people, because you will look down on them. Because if you're already looking down to people in the church that are just born again or are making still a mess in their life, and you don't understand the grace of God on your life, you are not able to understand God's grace on their life. And I feel in my heart God is not happy with that. And he spoke first to me. I've got 10 minutes, huh? Greg, another 10 minutes? Yeah, I will take, sorry, something like that. Because I don't want to make it too long, because for me the point is too important. But this morning I was dreaming. And it wasn't a nice dream at all. You know, some dreams, they make you feel guilty and ashamed, even when it's not reality, because it isn't real in my life at all. Oh, my goodness. But I know could have been me. And I asked the Lord, why did you allow this night that somebody gave me that dream? And I'm not going to share the details because I'm ashamed. I feel broken if I talk about it. And I had a dream before like that. And then you, in the morning, you are awake, and you, the only thing that you can do is cry, and you feel so upset because you know that every human being, and then it's about me, I could have done all the things I dreamt about. And it humbles you. So I asked this morning, Lord, why did you allow me that I received that dream? And God said, you know, there are two persons that have a plan for your life. I've got a plan for your life, and the enemy has a plan for your life. By the grace of God, I'm not living the dream I had tonight. But God said, that was the plan the devil had for your life. And he says, I give you the dream to honor me again, to fall in love again, to see the wonder of the fact that I saved you. It's through my grace that you do what you do. It's through my grace that you walk in the way you're walking now and what you do in your life. It's got nothing to do with you. If it wasn't for my grace, the dream possibly would have been reality. I said, Lord, help me again to understand the wonder of the fact that you saved me. And you know, I see two points. One point is the fact the day that I was born again. And then I see at the end of my life, but also at the return of the King. And Jesus, if you forget to focus on those two points, because life is hard. Life will distract you. Darkness around you is huge. So in Matthew 7, 13, enter through a narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few found it. And I said, Lord, why is it so dark in the world, and why is that path of life so small? I'm not going into it, but I was looking at the end, and God says, you know, tell the people again. At the end of the road, there are two roads, the small one and the broad one, darkness and light. And I saw at the end a picture. The road, small road of life, went up to heaven. And the broad road of darkness went down into hell. And we don't hear a lot of preaching about hell, but it's a reality. If we look at how often Jesus is talking about those two roads, life or death, and he's explaining at the end of the day, there are only two options. There's nothing in between that's gray that you can choose. Maybe it's that one or it's that one. His one to life. And the challenge is in between to those two points. How to live as a Christian. How to be in unity. And I think it will help you to focus again and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal again the beauty of the first step you made, born out of God, the grace of God. That's why Paul says, I am what I am. His assurance was in the fact that he took time to understand when he was born again, the privileges to be forgiven, to be free, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be light of the world, and he was walking on that path as a light. We sing we are free, we sing that we are accepted, but look, tell me how you live, and I will tell you actually what you believe. The darkness is around us. Yes, it's true. But like Greg, he's a faithful servant because he's leading this church already for 23 years. One of the things that I think is lacking in the church is perseverance of local leaders that stay in the church. I believe in fatherhood in the church. You don't adopt fathers or transport fathers or impart a father, spiritual father. So for myself, I'm part of the local church that I'm in already for 24 years. And I tell people, I will not leave. Except if God is doing a miracle. But else I will stay in life for Tyser, because he placed me there to be a father. The day I will hand over the church, I will become a grandfather in the house. Because we have to model something to the world, that family is important to God. And we as leaders have to model something. I know, God can call you somewhere and then it's fine. But don't use any excuse to abandon your family as leaders, as home group leaders. I struggle with the fact, and I'm honest, I'm struggling with the fact, when you are leading a home group for 3, 4, 5 years, and you say, my time is up, what are you telling the people in your home group? What are you modeling to the people in your home group? We've got churches in our country. You can become an elder for 4 years and then you have to step down. Can you imagine coming with your problems to that guy? Opening your heart fully, trustworthy. It's like, can you help me? Before it's solved, you're not able to disciple such a person. You can't be a father because within 4 years you're gone again. Because it's functional and function orientated. It's not gifted. It's not a lifetime walking with your children. I think as local churches, we have to go back again. Like it's already shared, family, 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 family. And living like family in unity. Care for each other. I believe one of the things that will help you is keep on focusing on the beginning point of your spiritual life and at the end point that Jesus Christ is coming back. The moment you're not focusing on Him, you're losing track. You will be distracted. You will probably become selfish or whatever is going to happen in your life, but you're losing your effectiveness. Like Paul is saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace was not without effect in my life. Why? Because he kept on focusing on those two points in his life. That's why he stayed effective until the day he died. So just a remember and a reminder for you, today or tomorrow or the coming week, sit. Again, and let the Holy Spirit fill you with wonder about the day that He saved you. Amen.